Good morning. You might have to bear with me a little bit. I got a cough and I'm a little bit sick, as I'm sure most of you can relate to. Anyway, to get us started this morning, I thought I'd share an email that I received that I thought was pretty funny. And it's entitled "The Redneck Medical Terminology." And there's a redneck definition to each of the words here. The first one, artery, the study of paintings. Bacteria, back door to the cafeteria. Barium, what doctors do when patients die. Benign, what you be after you be eight. Caesarean section, a neighborhood in Rome. CAT scan, searching for kitty. Cauterize, made eye contact with her. Coma, a punctuation mark. Dilate, to live long. Enema, not a friend. Fester, quicker than someone else. Fibula, a small eye. Impotent, distinguished and well known. Labor pain, getting hurt at work. Medical staff, a doctor's cane. Morbid, a higher offer. Nitrates, rates of pay for working at night, normally more money than days. Node, I knew it. Outpatient, a person who has fainted. Pelvis, second cousin to Elvis. Recovery room, place to do upholstery. Rectum, nearly killed him. Seizure, a Roman emperor. Tablet, a small table. Terminal illness, getting sick at the airport. Tumor, one plus one more. And last, urine, opposite of you're out. See, laughing, it makes us happy, at least for a little while. But how do we obtain true happiness that lasts? A psychologist named Ed Denier developed what is called a life scale. This scale supposedly measures people's happiness levels in a means of how happy you are with your life. It is made up of five statements that the person rates from 1 to 7. 1 being not true at all, and 7 being absolutely true. Why it's 1 to 7 and not 1 to 10, I don't know. I'm not the psychologist. But anyway, supposedly the higher the number, the more happier you are with your life. Here are the five statements. Number 1, in most ways, my life is close to my ideal. 2, the conditions of my life are excellent. Number 3, I am satisfied with my life. Number 4, so far I have gotten the important things I want in life. 5, if I could live my life over, I would change almost nothing. Now, you can come up with a number in your head if you want, but you don't have to, because we won't be sharing them unless you really want to with other people. Anyway, hopefully each of our happiness levels is at a level that makes us feel happy as of right now. The point I wanted to share this morning here is how to get true happiness and how not to get true happiness. I'm sure you have seen on the news or heard from coworkers at work about the $587 million Powerball jackpot that was recently won by two different people or two different parties. One was from Missouri and the other was from Arizona. Have you ever thought to yourself or heard someone say, "Man, if I could just win the lottery, I would be so much happier. I'd quit my job." That's the first thing that you hear people say. I'd take all the vacations I could ever want, and I'd see the world. I'd buy fancy cars and nice clothes. I could finally buy my dream home. Oh boy, would I ever be so much happier. Would you? Would you actually be so much happier? Of course it would be very nice at first. You could pay off most, if not all, your debts, get nicer things, and even help friends and family out. It might be nice at first, but what about after a few months? What about after a year? What about after 2 years? Are you still going to be so much more happier than before you obtained and won all that money? I think we as Christians are smart enough to know that answer. A lot of people outside of here really think they truly would be happier. As we have read and heard many times in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We need to get rid of the desire to be rich. After all, we also have heard many times when Jesus tells us in Matthew 19:24 and Mark 10:25 and in Luke 18:25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Happiness and evil obviously don't go together. So how can money, the root of all evil, make us happy? It can't. No worldly possession or anything we buy or anything that we own will ever truly make us happy. You might think it does for a while, but then it just becomes the norm. We will find ourselves searching for more. We always want more things. The most frequently cited study that I could find was published back in 1978, and it was called the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Researchers interviewed Illinois state lottery winners and compared them with non-winners, and they compared them with people who had suffered a terrible accident, which possibly left them paraplegic or quadriplegic. Each group answered a series of questions aimed at measuring their happiness level. Pretty much like the psychologist Ed Denier's life skill, like we discussed earlier, only it's with questions and not statements. The study found that the overall happiness levels of lottery winners spiked when they won, of course, but it returned to pre-winning levels after just a few months. Only a few months, it returned right back to where it was in terms of overall happiness. The lottery winners were significantly happier than the non-winners. Were not significantly happier than the non-winners, the study found. The accident victims were actually only slightly less happier than the lottery winners, but they were not less happy by much. And the study showed that most people, we have a set little level of happiness, and that even after life-changing events, people tend to return to their set point. But even with that, there are multiple stories of lottery winners where their lives actually got much worse. I'll share a few of them. The first one, Evelyn Bayshore of New Jersey, a former convenience store manager that actually won twice. Both winnings totaled of $5 million in the mid-1980s. She says she was always confronted by people who thought she owed them something and wanted a share of her money. She said everybody had their hand out. The second one, a man by the name of Jack Whittaker. He won in 2002, and he was from West Virginia. He won $315 million. And he says at first he gave his millions to charity, including he started his own charity. He put $14 million of his winnings into his own charity. Later, he had a briefcase for some reason that he put $545,000 in cash in the cashier's checks that he placed in his car when it was parked, and it was stolen. I don't know why you would ever put that kind of money somewhere, but that's beyond me. Anyway, that was... his briefcase was stolen, and then shortly after, his office and home were also broken into. And then he was arrested for DUI a couple times. He said by 2007, he spent almost all of his winnings. And recently, his granddaughter and daughter both have died. He told reporters, "I wish I'd torn that ticket up." Another case, Jeffrey Dampier and his wife won $20 million in 1996 in the Illinois lottery and used the winnings to help his family out by buying them houses. He also started a popcorn store in Tampa, Florida, which performed very well and provided jobs for his family. But later in July 2005, he went to visit his sister-in-law and her boyfriend because his sister-in-law claimed that she had car troubles. So he went there, and her boyfriend, his sister-in-law's boyfriend, pulled a pistol on him, and the two kidnapped him and later killed him. Which the two were later convicted, and they did receive life sentences. And lastly, the last one I'm going to share is a woman by the name of Callie Rogers, who won £2 million, or about $3 million at the time, in a UK lottery. She was only 16 years old when she won in 2002. And like I'm sure most 16-year-old girls, she spent her winnings on vacations and shopping, body improvements, and homes. 6 years later, she is a 22-year-old single mom of two, and she now is working as a maid and is paying off the debt that was induced by her spending. She told reporters, "My life is in shambles, and hopefully now that the money is all gone, I can find some happiness. It's brought me nothing but unhappiness, and it's ruined my life." Of course, there are stories of in which lottery winners, they've vastly improved their situations. But the point is that money will never truly make us happy. In fact, people find out who their true friends are. People who they haven't seen in years, they decide to come out of the woodwork and expect help from you. And they also ask to borrow money, and they're not going to pay it back. It is also a lot harder to figure out who you can trust. And all of this doesn't have to be just by winning the lottery. It could be that you have a successful business, or played the stock market right, or come from a wealthy family, or whatever it may be, but money won't make us happy. So we know what won't bring us true happiness. Now how do we get true happiness? How can we obtain it? We can get happiness from things we enjoy doing in life. But we obtain true happiness from our meaningful relationships in life. Through our family, through our physical one on this earth, and our spiritual one. The fellowship that we share here through our brothers and sisters in Christ, just by being here, how can you not be happy? By us being here praising God, singing songs, studying His Word, taking the emblems that we just took, and thinking about what Christ did for us as we are commanded to do. Because of Christ, we can have the opportunity to be in heaven. It doesn't matter what is happening in this life outside of here. When we come here, we should be happier now than when than before we entered those doors. Most importantly of all, true happiness should come by trying to please God. If you turn with me to Psalms 1, verses 1 through 6, Psalms 1, 1 through 6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The very first word here, in the very first chapter, in the very first verse in Psalms, it tells us how to be. The word is blessed. Blessed is often translated in the scriptures as happy. Happiness, or happy, is a synonym of blessed. And this is how we are going to be if we are walking with the counsel of the godly and not walking with the ungodly. Here it tells us we will be happy if we do not seek advice from the world. We need to be seeking advice from Christians. Right here in this building, we have really good advice. We can seek counsel from our good leadership here, our elders and our deacons. But fortunately, we have a great church body that also makes it easy to find good advice. People have life experiences and they have knowledge that can also help us. We will find happiness in the law of the Lord through the scriptures. We just need to make sure we are studying and living by it day by day and night and night. We have to trust the Lord to do this. In Psalms 34:8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord. The reason why I believe we have had and still do as of now, we have a great nation. This is because most of the people that founded our nation and built the Constitution, they built it at least somewhat Bible-based. At least way more than it is currently right now and in the direction that we're headed. After all, we still have, and hopefully always will have, in our pledge of allegiance stating our nation is under God. And we still have on our coin slogan, In God We Trust. One of the best reasons, in my opinion, to be happy is God tells us we can be forgiven through repentance. In Psalms chapter 32, verses 1 through 2, Psalms 32, 1 through 2, it says, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. One of the happiest reasons to be happy is because God tells us here, Happy is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose sins is covered. God gave us the gift of repentance, and God wants to forgive us. When we ask God for forgiveness and we truly mean it in our heart, He no longer holds it against us. Only when we ask God to forgive our sins will He give us true happiness and relief from that guilt. By His grace, we can be saved in the end. It's a great thing to be able to repent and to be forgiven. Without this, there would be no happiness. We would all be lost. As Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, In the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Happy is the person who is forgiving. And if we are forgiving, we ourselves will be forgiven. God is merciful, and that is how we need to be also. How can we expect Him to be merciful to us if we aren't? If we are doing all of these things, then we truly fear the Lord. Psalms 112:1 says, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. Going back to what it says in Psalm, the first chapter, if we fear God, we will not walk in the advice of the ungodly, but we will walk our Christian walk in a godly manner. We have to make sure we are not like the world, who are wicked. People who try to find happiness in the world will never be fully satisfied. Their happiness will be short-lived. Their happiness will be short-lived, like dust blowing in the wind. But if we find happiness in God, we will always be happy. And there is no greater happiness than a happiness that lasts for eternity. More importantly than our happiness is making God happy in the works in which we do. And if we make God happy, we will be happy. And if we do that, no matter what set of statements or what set of questions that is asked of us of a sight of anything, of any psychology, then we will always be happy, and we will never disappoint God. Those are my thoughts this morning. It is now time to offer the gospel invitation. If you have not found true happiness in your walk of life, make sure to live your life to make God happy. And in turn, you will find yours will be happy also. If you need to make something known before the congregation, or if you are ready to come forward and place membership, or come forward and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized, or if there's anything else that we can do for you, please come forward as we sing this invitation song.